नमः श्री ज्योतिराजाय विवेकानंद रूपिणी सचेत सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामिने तापहारिणे। I bow down to Vivekananda, who is the king among the monks, a hero among human beings, and the embodiment of existence, knowledge, bliss, absolute, and who came to help, to serve humanity. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying a book, Swami Vivekananda, on himself. As I always say, his life was very short. 39 years, 5 months, 24 days. But his message was long. He said it will continue for 1500 years. We are studying the chapter Discipleship, his encounter with his guru Sri Ramakrishna. Page 21. Devotion, as taught by Narada, he used to preach to the masses, those who are incapable of any higher training. He used generally to teach dualism. As a rule, he never taught Advaitism, but he taught it to me. I had been a dualist before. Devotion, according to Narada. There is a book called Bhakti Sutra of Narada. There are 84 aphorisms are there. The first aphorism, second, Sa Tvaspin Paramo Premo Rupa. He was defining love, devotion. Sa means that bhakti, tasmai, God, paramo prema rupa. Mani, supreme love for God is called devotion. We have love. We love our husband, wife, children, family, money, home, car. That is ordinary love. Not paralab. Paralab, supreme love, is love for God. That is the way Narada defined love. Sanjillo defined the love. Tasmin paramo prema rupa. Sanjilo is sa para unurakti ishvare. That is the definition of bhakti. Sa, devotion, para unurakti, excessive attachment. Ishvare, God. Attachment for God is called devotion. We understand attachment very well. We are attached with so many things, but we are not attached to God. So that is the way Sanjillo defined devotion. So Sri Ramakrishna generally used to teach masses how to love God. Some people ask a question, we have not seen God, how can I love Him? I see her, I can love her. The thing which we see, we can love. But the thing which you have not seen, how can we love? We have not seen God, so we cannot love God. That is one question. Premaspad, object of love. You are an object of love. You cannot love, I can love you. But do you not see God? He is not an object. So how can I love God? That is the question. Very interesting. In India, when a girl is married, which is arranged marriage, this girl has never seen her husband. So, just at the time of marriage, of course, her father checked the background check of this boy, how much money he makes, what is his educational qualification, what kind of person he is. Everything will be checked before this girl will get married. But only at the time of marriage, she will see her husband. Arranged marriage. Perhaps that girl is 20 years old, is going with her husband, whom she never met, and she does not know anything about that person. So what happens? Just after the next, when the marriage is over, this girl will have to go with her husband. Now she is going to cut her 20 years attachment instantly. She lived with her parents 20 years, now she is going to cut that attachment and going to a person whom she does not know at all. She leaves, she hugs her mother and cries, I shall not go, I shall stay with you. She hugs her father and friends, oh no, I shall not go, I shall stay here. Then mother and father, they console this girl and say, Oi tor bor, oi tor ghor. That man is your husband and his house is your real house. My sweet daughter, please go. We shall go and see you and you also come and see us. That is the way this girl was pushed out with this unknown man. She goes with her husband. She starts to love him. Perhaps she will get 2-3 children in the course of time. Then her father writes that, my sweet child, daughter, your mother is very sick. Could you come and help us a little bit? She writes that, I cannot go. Perhaps in Christmas time I shall try. If I go, who will cook for your son-in-law? Who will look after your grandchildren? She writes all excuses and does not want to come back. Previously she did not want to go. Now she does not want to come back. Why? She established relationship, love, with her husband, with her children. That is the way where we have to establish relationship with God. It is a very beautiful example how to establish relationship with God. You see, bhakti, do you know how does it go? If you want to practice jnana yoga, path of knowledge, you need 4 qualifications. First, discrimination, renunciation, self-control, burning desire for liberation. If you have these 4, that means you can be a student of jnana yoga. If you want to be a student of raja yoga, you will have to practice 8 limbs of yoga: yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. If you can practice these 8 limbs of yoga, then you can be a student of raja yoga. Next, if you want to be a student of karma yoga, you need three qualifications. First, vasanatyag, free, giving up all desires. Ahongtyag, give up ego. Third, ishare phalarpun, offer the result of your action to God. About bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga is very nice. Do you know how does it go? I do not have too much renunciation for the world. I do not have too much attachment for God either. So I am between, I have two legs on two boats. Neither I have too much renunciation that I shall renounce home, family, everything, or I do not have excessive love for God. So I am in between. For them, bhakti yoga works very well. Sri Ramakrishna, do you know what Jiji said? He says, when you learn dancing, first you use 2 feet, 2 legs. But when you become a ballerina, did you notice? With a single toe, how she swings? It's just hard to see how that girl swings. Just one toe. As if she's a flying bird, you know? She's an expert dancer. She can dance on only 1 foot, not 2 feet. That happens. That Sri Ramakrishna said. First learn dance to bhakti yoga, family and God both. And later on, put one leg only on God. So bhakti, that is called bhakti yoga. I'm just giving you some ideas that you may ask Swami Devotion as taught by Narada, what Sri Ramakrishna meant. He meant this. It is a little bit easy. Sri Ramakrishna once told me that not one in 20 millions in this world believed in God. I asked him why, and he told me, suppose there is a thief in this room, and he gets to know that there is a mass of gold in the next room, and only a very thin partition between the two rooms, what will be the condition of that thief? I said he will not be able to sleep at all. His brain will be actively thinking of some means of getting at the gold, and he will think of nothing else. Then he replied, do you believe that a man could believe in God and not go mad to get him? If a man sincerely believes that there is that immense, infinite mine of bliss and that it can be reached, would not that man go mad in his struggle to reach it? Very beautiful way Swamiji put it there. We do not want God. Infinite bliss. We want little joy. We do not want. Krishna mentioned in the Gita, Manushyanam Savasreshu Koshi Jatat Siddhai Jatatama Visiddhanam Koshi Man Betti Tatvataha. What does it mean? Manushyanam Savasreshu. Millions of people come to religious, spiritual life. Koshchit jatati siddhai, only few succeed. Jatatamapi siddhanam koshchin mam betti tatas. After perfection, even only few people, those who are striving, among them also, only one or two can reach me. It is not so easy. Swamiji in the Ramakrishna Divine Play gave a kind of accounts, you know. Those who come in religious life, 80% people are hypocrites. Akbar, genuine hypocrites. 15% people will be crazy. They cannot keep the brain in there. 5% people somehow are sincere. So you can imagine that the people come here. Then one of our Swami one day mentioned, of course I feel that I am in that 5%. Swamiji told him, 80% people are not sincere. Hypocrisy means not sincere. They want both. They want hot ice cream, you see. I want both. I want God, I want world, both. Or there is a saying of Tulasi Dasa, Jab mai tha tab hari nahi, jab hari tha tab mai nahi. The moment you say I, God is not there. When you say God, I is not there. Day and night never stay together. Darkness and light never stay together. So, do you really want God? Swamiji challenged in London, in one big hall, in Piccadilly Hall. He shouted, is there anybody here who can go on the street and raise both hands and say that I want God and God alone and nothing else? Is there anybody here? Raise your hand. Swamiji challenged. Not a single person. It was in England in 1895. He's challenging the English people. You people are proud, proud, proud. What do you want? All kept quiet. Who can go on the street and raise both hands and can say, I only want God and nothing else? Not so easy. One day at that time, I spent a night with the master in Dakshineshwar. I was sitting quiet for some time under the panchavati, when the master suddenly came there and catching hold of my hand, said, smiling, your intellect and learning will be examined today. You have passed 2.5 examination only. A teacher who has passed 3.5 has come today. Come, let me see how you fare in conversation with him. Willy-nilly, I had to go with the master. When I reached his room and was introduced to M, I began to talk with him on various subjects. Having thus engaged us in a talk, the master sat silent and went on listening to our words and observing us. Afterwards, when M took leave and went away, he said, what matters it? Even if he has passed those examinations, the teacher is womanish in character, shy. He cannot talk with emphasis, thus pitching me against others. The master used to enjoy the fun of it. Some people have good education, but they do not have conviction. Swamiji, when he would speak with tremendous conviction. This is the truth. You see, in spiritual life, in lecture, do you know what works? 2/3 life, 1/3 brain. It is the life which speaks, not the intellect. Intellect is very little. Power comes from the life. Intellectual knowledge helps, but not too much. So Swamiji was trying to make a debate between M and Swamiji. 2.5 means Swamiji at that time was studying BA. So matriculation 1 degree, then IA, intermediate 1 degree, and you have only 2.5. And M is 3.5. He passed BA, and at that time I think he was studying law or MA, something like that. So he said, it is a 3.5 and 2.5, let us debate. Let me see who wins. See how good it was. Sometimes when we read these things, we can visualize Dakshineshwar temple garden, Sri Ramakrishna's room, what is going on. That is the beauty of the gospel of Ramakrishna. You can visualize. the divine play of Ramakrishna. Shortly after meeting the master, I might not have gained anything else by this practice of religion, but it is certain that I have gained control over my terrible anger by his grace. Formerly, I used to lose all control over myself in rage and besieged with repentance afterwards. But now if anyone does me a great harm or even beats me severely, I don't become so very angry. Swamiji wrote a letter to Mr. E.T. Starji in London about his anger. Do you know what is the cause of the anger? This man is perfect. If he finds any imperfection, he becomes angry. If he sees any injustice, he becomes very angry. If he finds anybody is lying, he becomes very, very angry. These things he cannot bear, he cannot tolerate. Psh. That is the cause of his anger. Be perfect. Be truthful. These people, then he says, by the grace of the Master, I got control. He was, both Swami Biji and Swami Brahmananda both became Brahmo. One day Brahmananda was bowing to Mother Kali, Swamiji became so angry. He was about to scolding him right and left. You signed in the Brahmo place that you will never bow down to Hindu gods and goddesses, now you bow down. You deviated from truth. He cannot bear it. One day, during one of my early visits, the master, in an ecstatic mood, said to me, "You have come. How amazing." I said to myself, it is as if he had known me a long time. Then he said to me, "Do you ever see light?" I replied, "Yes, sir. Before I fall asleep, I feel something like a light revolving near my forehead." Swamiji had a belief that from the childhood, when he used to go to sleep, he used to see a light in between his eyebrows. And then all of a sudden, that light would burst. And in that effulgent light, he would fall asleep. That is the way he used to sleep every day. Then he said, "Does not everybody see light when they go to bed?" Oh, no, no, no. He had an idea for us. Everybody gives that kind of light. Shh. Oh, no, no, no. Not everybody sees that kind of light. You are very special. I used to see it frequently. In Jodhumulli's garden house, the master one day tossed me and muttered something to himself. I became unconscious. The effect of the touch lingered with me a month like an intoxication. That what happened that day, it has been described elaborately in Ramakrishna's divine play. Sri Ramakrishna touched him and then asked questions. And Swamiji was unconscious way he was answering the questions. That day Swamiji Sri Ramakrishna came to know that he is the right person who will carry my message. He is one of the seven sages. He is Nitya Siddha, ever perfect. He is Dhyan Siddha Mahapurush, his great soul perfect in meditation. All of his past stories by touching Sri Ramakrishna came to know. Not through questioning. In that way he questioned and he got all the answers. That section is very, very interesting. Immediately he knew this is the right person. Sri Ramakrishna has a very special power to study, recognize human beings. He could see inside of human beings like you see in a glass case. He can see your past, future, everything he can see. When he heard that a proposal had been made about my marriage, he wept, holding the feet of the image of Kali. With tears in his eyes, he prayed to the Divine Mother, "O Mother, please upset the whole thing. Don't let Narendra be drowned." What a real guru. Broke the marriage. Do you know what offer Swamiji got? 10,000 rupees dowry and the girl. And the father-in-law will send him to England so that he can be an barrister, an attorney. Big offer at that time. It was in 1883, 84. 10,000 rupees dowry. I do not know how good looking that girl was. But anyhow, I sometimes say Ramakrishna is expert in breaking marriage. But not everybody.
Do we know her name?
Huh?
Do we know her name in that record?
No.
No.
No. Okay. W.C. Two, three proposals came, Swamiji's marriage. Even Swamiji's father also agreed, and mother agreed, you know, all are arranged. Sri Ramakrishna's prayer works. I was this afternoon, do you know what I was thinking? There was a person named Hazra, Pratap Hazra. He was a hypocrite, he used to live in Dakshineshwar. Sri Ramakrishna arranged his stay. He used to live in the veranda. And he was saying, don't go to Ramakrishna, come to me. And he used to teach people what Ramakrishna taught. Then one day Sri Ramakrishna was very much upset. He went to Kali. Mother, Hazara wants to change my teachings. Either change his mind or remove him from this place. In this way, Sri Ramakrishna went to Kali Mandir and prayed. And Sri Ramakrishna was so simple, he came back and told Hazara, this I prayed. he came and said, you see, you oppose my teachings. I prayed to the mother to remove me from this place or to accept me. 1 week passed, Hazra was seated in the veranda, you know, with his big rosary. Sir, I am still here. That means your prayer is not working. Eventually, he had to leave. But I sometimes, you know, when I read these stories, I see what a drama was going on in Dakshineshwar. Sir, I'm still here. Sri Ramakrishna's prayer. One day when the master came to my study and was giving me the instruction to observe lifelong continence, my grandmother overruled everything and informed my parents of it. They began making great efforts from that day to get me married, lest I should become a monk by moving with a sadhu. But of what avail was all that? All their efforts against the strong will of the master failed. Even when everything was settled, the marriage negotiations broke off. In a few cases, on account of the difference of opinion between the two parties about trifling things. Swamiji, there was an extended family, many people at home. So he used to go, it's just two or three homes after mother, his grandmother, meaning his mother's mother. That home, they have a room, there he used to go and study, and Sri Ramakrishna used to come to visit him there. So, what happened, towards the end of Swami Vivekananda's life, after he became very famous, you know, after returning from America, so His grandmother used to tell him, "Hey, Noren, you have become monks for many years. Now get married." He said, "Swamiji was in the 30s. It is easy to get married in 30s. But now get married." Do you know what was Swamiji's answer? Swamiji's answer was very nice. Swamiji said, "Grandma, I have some money. Why don't you die? I shall make an expensive Shraddha ceremony and make a grand feast and feed people. Tomorrow, Swami Shraddha Puchur Khao." Swamiji said, "I shall give a grand feast to the people, you die." Then his mother also says, "Now we get married, we do not have any children, our whole family will be extinct." His other two brothers also unmarried, never married. So Swamiji says, "I have these grown-up children, I feel shy to get married in front of them." And his disciples, you know, all big disciples. Swamiji, very funny. "It is impossible to give others any idea of the ineffable joy we derive from the presence of the Master. It is really beyond our understanding how he could train us without our knowing it through fun and play, and thus mold our spiritual life. As the master wrestler proceeds with great caution and restraint with the beginner, now overpowering him in the struggle with great difficulty as it were, again allowing himself to be defeated to strengthen the pupil's self-confidence. In exactly the same manner did Sri Ramakrishna handle us, realizing that the Atman, the source of infinite strength, exists in every individual, pygmy though he might be, he was able to see the potential giant in all. He could clearly discern the latent spiritual power which would, in the fullness of time, manifest itself. Holding up that bright picture to view, he would speak highly of us and encourage us. Again, he would warn us lest we should obstruct the future consummation of becoming entangled in worldly desires. And moreover, he would keep us under control by carefully observing even the minute details of our life. All this was done silently and unobtrusively. That was the secret of his training of the disciples and of his molding of their lives." Ramakrishna's method of training. In the Divine Play, in the fifth chapter, in the fifth volume, I think it's the seventh chapter, you will find his methods of teaching. He taught individually. Same teaching will not work everybody. You see, that is the difference between Vedanta and the Christian church. In the Christian church, you people repeat the same thing. Everybody has the same common prayer, not in Hinduism. Your spiritual instruction, my spiritual instruction may be different. Your mantra, my mantra may be different. Your chosen deity, my chosen deity may be different. So that is the way it goes. Same medicine does not work for every diseases. According to disease, medicine changes. So according to person, teachings differs. That is the way it works. Sri Ramakrishna, early in the morning, at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, he will get up and he will walk in his room. At that time, he would see the minds of his disciples. Who is making progress? Who is not making any progress? What are the problems of that person? What are the obstructions? Everything he could see. It is an amazing phenomenon that a guru, a teacher, is seeing the minds of his disciples And when they come, he will give, hey, this is your problem, go this way. Hey, you have this problem, go this. The guru's job is to remove the obstacles. And you grow. He used to watch their food. He used to watch how they sleep. He was Swamiji. You have many good signs, only two bad. When you sleep, you breathe very deep. That indicates that you will not live long. And I noticed you eat quite a bit of food. But Swamiji defended his food. He said, I may eat, but you see, he has a big, big stomach. But this is my famine relief fund. I can, some of 3 days I have no food. So this fat will save me, you know. This is my famine relief fund. It is there. Swamiji is a very interesting person, you know. Swami Niranjanda used to eat too much ghee. Hey! That's a very bad sign. He saw Swami Vigyanananda. Hey! Stay away from women. He was an engineer. So he gurus, he obeys his gurus, teaching in such a way, Swami Mahapurusha Maharaj used to say, even a she-fly cannot enter her ashrama. So strict. Do you know what happened? When Swamiji returned to India, Vigyanananda asked Swamiji, they are all brother disciples, Ramakrishna's disciples. Swamiji, Sri Ramakrishna said, don't mix with women, but you went to America and you mixed with American women, all these things. Swamiji became mad. Look, what Sri Ramakrishna told you practice that. And what Sri Ramakrishna told me, I shall practice that. Sri Ramakrishna destroyed my sex idea. I do not see man and woman, I see the Atman. I do not see it is a female body, I see the Self, the Atman, consciousness. What Thakur told you practice it, and what Thakur told me, I shall practice that. Swamiji. Amazing person, really amazing person. Even he would select, hey, Naren will get 6 pieces of chapati, Baburab 4 pieces, Latu 5 pieces. Then after supper he will ask, how many pieces did you eat? And the Baburab Maharaj says, 6 pieces. You were supposed to eat 4 pieces, why 2 pieces? But the mother gave me. Sri Ramakrishna again went to to quarrel with his wife, to know about. This young boy has come to become a monk, and I asked him to eat 4 pieces of chapati, and you gave 6 pieces. What is this? Mother immediately took her form. He is my son, I shall feed him according to my 2 pieces, so you do not make a very big thing out of it, I shall look after it. You go. Paramahansa returned to his room. Because he attacked his motherhood. I am the mother, that is my jurisdiction. Who are you? Mother feeds her child, that is my area. You see, you take care of your area, which I shall take care of. Look, Paramahansa returned to his room. could not fight with his wife. Each person has his own jurisdiction. I am a mother, I must feed my son as I like. Thakura said, all right, came back. Swami Yogananda, how many pieces of bread you sir, I 1 pound flour bread I eat at night. My goodness, I cannot afford. You eat at home and come and serve me. I cannot afford. Yogananda's home was in Dakshineswar. You go to your home, eat, and then come here. I gave 15 lectures, Ramakrishna's instructions to his disciples. 15 lectures I gave. But how he trained his disciple. It is very, very interesting. Once I felt that I could not practice deep concentration during meditation, I told him of it and sought his advice and direction. He told me his personal experience in the matter and gave me instructions. I remember that as I sat down to meditate during the early hours of the morning, my mind would be disturbed and diverted by the shrill note of the whistle of a neighboring jute mill. I told him about it, and he advised me to concentrate my mind on the sound of the whistle itself. I followed his advice and derived much benefit from it. Sound sometimes bothers meditation. Those who meditate deep, they cannot bear noise. One of our Swamis, he was an American, Swami Atulananda. He was in Dehradun. And he used to meditate very early in the morning. That 4:30, there is a church nearby. Dong, 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 they used to ring the bell. And it was really disturbing his meditation. Then what did he do? He said, I cannot just stop the church bell, but I can change myself. Do you know what did he see? He connected the mantra with that church bell sound. Hari Om, Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari Om. With the sound of the choir, as long as the bell goes, he connects Hari Om, Hari Om. And that reduces his anger and upset, you know, feeling. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om. And that he got rid of that problem. But I could not. Do you know what happened? My next door is a big Presbyterian church. Huge. That there are 8 churches from fence to fence. Unity, Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Science, Presbyterian, Vedanta Temple. I Am Temple, Jewish Synagogue, and then Central Church of Christ. 8 churches, fence to fence. Behind us is Episcopalian, the other side is Missouri Synod, they are Lutheran, and in front is the Catholic Empire. This side is the Baptist, next side is Methodist. So you can think of where I live. Very spiritual place, you know. What happened? A devotee of Presbyterian Church bought a Chinese bell, Chinese chimes. They set it on the top of the church. And every 15 minutes, and I was about to get heart attack. I come, Either I'll have to leave the place or they will convert me. Either I will have to leave St. Louis or I will have to be a Presbyterian. There is no other way. Then do you know what happened? I went to our next house. There the sound comes very loud. I just constantly changing rooms and rooms. Then I was thinking, what can I do? Lord. Then I called the minister, Mr. Stulak, George Stulak, Presbyterian minister, good man. I want to see you. He came to our living room. This is the problem. Every 15 minutes you are ringing this bell. I cannot bear it. We know a devotee subscribe it. I call him, no way. But I grabbed that man and called him, come to my room. I took him to my bedroom, opened the window. Now you listen. Yes, it is loud, very loud. But before I do take any action, we need a meeting. I shall call a board meeting and then we shall make a decision. I'm going to make a decision. You can ring the bell from 10 o'clock, every hour. But 1 to 3, no bell. That time I sleep. 10 o'clock, bell, okay. 11 o'clock, okay. 12 o'clock, okay. 1 o'clock, okay. 4 times. And then 3 o'clock bell, 4, 5, 6. A 4, 8 times you can ring the bell. Then first tell me what is the reason of this bell. Oh, it is our European tradition. The bell reminds our people that this is the time for prayer. Time for prayer. I call him, tell me how many people Presbyterian near this Presbyterian temple. Nobody. This size is the Forest Park, South Skinker Boulevard. This side myself and the others, and behind is the ex mayor of St. Louis, and this side is the Christian Science, and this side, the other side is the. These are all churches, people. There is no Presbyterian around. You want. So in this way, then he said, all right. So they listened to my complaint. Then slowly, no more ring, no more bell. Now a shanti. But you know, I had to speak. I couldn't bear it. Hey, but a pagol, every 15 minutes bell. Who is going to pray? If these people will not work. Just see, I could not, my Hari Om did not work. On another occasion, I felt difficulty in totally forgetting my body during meditation and concentrating the mind wholly on the ideal. I went to him for counsel and he gave me the very instruction which he himself had received from Totapuri while practicing Samadhi according to Vedantic disciplines. He sharply pressed between my eyebrows with his fingernail and said, now concentrate your mind on this painful sensation. I found I could concentrate easily on that sensation as long as I liked. And during that period, I completely let go the consciousness of the other parts of my body, not to speak of their causing any distraction, hindering my meditation. That is another beautiful way of teaching of Sri Ramakrishna. He will tell you how he overcome that kind of situation, how he learned from others. But my guru, he used to quite often, he used to say, meditate every day. Why? My guru said that here is a brass pot. If you clean every day, it will shine like gold. If you do not clean every day, it will stain. So meditate every day. And here he saw, when I was meditating, I could not go to Nirvikalpa Samadhi. The Divine Mother appeared before me every time. I could not transcend the name and form. Then he took that naked monk, Totapuri, Sri Ramakrishna's guru. He found a broken piece of glass near the Panchavati. He pressed between his eyebrows, concentrate here. I concentrated, boom. I cut Mother Kali with the soul of knowledge and merged into Nirvikalpa Samadhi. 3 days, boom. You see, sometimes I was thinking, you know, sometimes when you have a difficulty in meditation, you put your own thumbnail and press it there. See, concentrate here. Perhaps that may help you. Very practical teaching of Sri Ramakrishna. This solitude of the Panchavati associated with the various spiritual realizations of the Master was also the most suitable place for our meditation. Besides meditation and spiritual exercises, we used to spend a good deal of time there in sheer fun and merrymaking. Sri Ramakrishna also joined in with us, and by taking part enhanced our inmost innocent pleasure. We used to run and skip about, climb on the trees, swing from the creepers, and at times hold merry picnics. On the first day that we picnicked, the Master noticed that I myself had cooked the food and he partook of it. I knew that he could not take food unless it was cooked by Brahmins, and therefore I had arranged for his meal at the Kali temple. But he said, "It won't be wrong for me to take food from such a pure soul as you yourself." In spite of my repeated remonstrations, he enjoyed the food I had cooked that day. Swamiji was not a Brahmin. He was a Kshatriya. Now, night at Dakshineshwar, what Sri Ramakrishna did. He used to send his disciples to different temples, different places for meditation. He will give you very little food at night and then go and meditate. At 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you come back and then sleep. He used to say, "Have you come here to sleep?" He used to sleep only perhaps 2-3 hours a day, two hours perhaps a day, he used to sleep. So Panchavati, and then picnics. Picnics. Sri Ramakrishna knew these are all young boys in their late teens, early 20s. They need some joy, fun. Otherwise, all the time, meditate, you know, dry japa mind meditation, Lord knows. Anyhow. So, if you read that, the Aim's biography, which I have written, Aim used to go for picnic with the devotees. Sometimes he used to go and embrace a tree. Hey, this tree is the witness of Master's picnic. If there are many trees are there, they are all still alive. They have seen Ramakrishna. Bow down to these trees. He used to tell the devotees. Did you notice that Panchavati also fell down? Today. Yesterday, newspaper, they showed that original Panchavati also fell. Yeah. The Panchavati was planted by Sri Ramakrishna. That tree fell down, broke. I saw in the today yesterday's paper. Today, Kushan, the now Kamarhati municipality will have to clear that tree. And what is called that main bedi, that old banyan tree, they have with the bulldozer they removed it. These people have no historical sense, hopeless. Hopeless. Easily these trees, they could cut saplings and can save them. Yes. That bale tree, that easily they could cut a sapling and can plant it there. Yes. That is the way Buddha's Bo tree in Bodh Gaya. That is the third generation. the first tree, the sapling, they took to Anuradhapuram in Sri Lanka. And from there they brought a sapling and put in Bodh Gaya. The Abba told me this is the third generation. Anyhow, what to do? These people do not have any. Of course, nothing is eternal. But Swamiji's mango tree in Belur Math, how we are trying to preserve, support wooden brick structures, so that things. We are trying at most to save. Picnic. We see Laguna Beach picnic also, I always saw, you know. Barbecued. That the smell is hard to breathe, you know. Of course, that also gives joy to them, what to do. I sometimes, when some people walk with me, I say, you know, when last brisas, there outside some people, some round, some tables are there, people eat, I envy them. I cannot, they eat all this junk food and their stomach is good, and I am a monk and my stomach is bad, why? Then it reminded me, Sri Ramakrishna was telling, you know, Rakhal doctor, 60 years old, he is in good health, but every night he goes to the prostitute. He is in perfect health, and I am a holy man, look how many physical problems I have. Sri Ramakrishna wish to make joke out of it. After my father's death, my mother and my brothers were starving. When the master met Annada Guha one day, he said to him, Narendra's father has died. His family is in a state of great privation. It would be good if his friends helped him now with money. After Annada had left, I scolded him. I said, why did you say all these things to him? Thus rebuked, he wept and said, alas, for your sake I could beg from door to door. He tamed us by his love. You see, Swamiji is a Marjadavan Purush. Annada Guha is a very rich man, Swamiji's friend. He used to go to him for music and singing and entertaining. But Thakur, he did not like that Swami, you know. I am born to help others. I do not like to help from anybody. That was the Swamiji's attitude. I am born to give, not to take. That is Vivekananda's attitude. I am born to give to humanity. But Sri Ramakrishna gave one gift to Swamiji. Do you know what is that? He bought a tanpura for Swamiji, spending 10 rupees. And that tanpura was in Sri Ramakrishna's room. When Swamiji would come, he would tune it and sing. Once in somebody, some of his brother disciples was trying to defend Swamiji. Don't try to defend me. I have enough strength to defend myself. Such atma-vishwas, tremendous self-confidence. You know, when you read Swamiji's books, his message, you will find that person is established on the self, on the Atman, and he has tremendous faith in himself. That we need. Even before the period of mourning after my father's death was over, I had to go about in search of a job, starving and barefooted. I wandered from office to office under the scorching noonday sun with an application in hand, one or two intimate friends who sympathized with me in my misfortunes, accompanying me sometimes, But everywhere the door was slammed in my face. This first contact with the reality of life convinced me that unselfish sympathy was a rarity in the world. There is no place in it for the weak, the poor, and the destitute. I noticed that those who only a few days ago would have been proud to have helped me in any way, now turned their face against me, though they had enough to spare. Seeing all this, the world sometimes seemed to me to be the handiwork of the devil. One day, weary and footsore, I sat down in the shade of the Oktoberloni monument, the present Shahid Minar of the Maidan. A friend or two were with me that day, or maybe may met me there by chance. One of them, I remember distinctly, sang by way of consoling me, "Bohiche kripaghano brahmo nishasho pavane." Here blows the wind, the breath of Brahman, his grace palpable. It was like a terrible blow on my head. I remembered the helpless condition of my mother and brothers and exclaimed in bitter anguish and despondency, "Will you please stop that song? Such fancies may be pleasing to those who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth and have no starving relatives at home." Yes, there was a time when I too thought like that, but today, before the hard fact of life, it sounds like grimy mockery. It is really amazing. At that time, he was a graduate. At that time, a graduate in British India, one can become a deputy magistrate. No job. Somebody says, why? It is the divine, it is the providence, you know. It is a divine will that he must suffer. If you do not suffer, you will never understand the sufferings of people. You must suffer. Swamiji suffered. And friend, who is your friend? I remember when you were in Sanskrit, in 7th grade, you had to memorize some verses. Who is your friend? Utsave vyasane chaivo durbhikshe rashtaviplave rajuddare smasane cha yatishtuti sabandhava. Utsave, at the time of festivity. Vyasane, at the time of luxury, good time. Durbhikshe, at the time of famine. Rashtaviplave, during the time of war. Then, Rajadwari, when you are arrested. Smashane, when someone dies in our family. If a person comes, stands beside you in all these circumstances, that person is your friend. Good time, bad time. All the time, that person will be with you. Now, when you have a bad time, that time only, you can understand that who is your true friend. My friend must have been wounded. How could he fathom the dire misery that had forced these words out of my mouth? Sometimes when I found that there are not provisions enough for the family and my purse was empty, I would pretend to my mother that I had an invitation to dine out and remain practically without food. Out of self-respect, I could not disclose the facts to others. My rich friends sometimes requested me to go to their homes or gardens and sing. I had to comply when I could not avoid doing so. I did not feel inclined to express my woes before them, nor did they try themselves to find out my difficulties. A few among them sometimes used to ask me, "Why do you look so pale and weak today?" Only one of them came to know about my poverty, and now and then, unknown to me, sent anonymous help to my mother, by which act of kindness he has put me under a deep debt of gratitude. That is aim. Secretly, he gave 100 rupees to Swamiji's mother. That will go for 3 months. 30 rupees a month at that time, at least they will not starve. That is aim. Swamiji told lies that I have invitation. I am not hungry. Do you know? You can lie 5 places according to Mahabharata. To save others' life, you can lie. For there are few reasons are there, I shall not tell you all of them. It is in the Adi Parvam of Mahabharata and also in the Karna Parvam of the Mahabharata. There, that how many places, 5 places you can lie. Anyhow, Swamiji told his that I am not hungry. So that the quantity of food he will consume, let his brother and mother eat that food, you know, to save, to help others. Self-esteem, that is another important thing. Never think that you are poor. Never think you are hopeless. Always think, I am something. I have something to give. That potentially divine, the divinity is within me. Another thing, one of my friends used to say, a race horse does not pull a horse carriage. You know, we are... When I first came to Hollywood, one night I was listening to KNS radio station. Avatar is running, Avatar is running, Avatar is running. I was thinking, what is the matter? Later I heard that Avatar is a horse, race horse. Avatar is running, Avatar is running, Avatar is running. Everything is in Hollywood. Up to this tonight.